Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Nicola Everett.
Hello, hope you're okay following last night's storm in parts of Kent. Thanks ever so much for downloading today's podcast. It's Tuesday, June the 23rd, and we've got a bit more on the weather coming up. But first today, it's 10 years since the Brexit vote back in 2016. Then Prime Minister David Cameron gave us the chance to say whether we wanted to leave the EU or not. 52% of people voted leave and the PM stood down. Well, a decade later, a new poll commissioned by Kent Online has found one in four people here in Kent who voted for Brexit would now back Remain if the referendum was held again. More than 1,300 residents across the county have been asked for their opinion. Back then, 59% of people here in Kent chose to leave the EU, but according to the survey, 57% would now vote to stay. Well, let's hear what some of you think.
I don't really follow politics very much at the moment, but I'd like to go back to how things were before Brexit.
As far as I'm concerned, I don't want anything to do with Europe. They're just money-pinching bureaucrats.
So if you're in a referendum today, you'll still be voting leave?
Yeah.
It's put the power back in the hands of our own politicians. How incompetent they have shown themselves to be is a different matter.
Well, I don't think we've made the best of leaving, so I'm waiting to see what would happen.
I'd still vote leave.
I would vote leave as well.
And obviously lots of promises were made to you guys when you voted leave. Do you think those promises have materialised?
No.
Well, is there anything particular that you would like to have seen happen that hasn't happened?
Well, we haven't got any more trade with other countries around the world, as they said we would. In fact, we've got no industry left in this country now. So I think the worst thing that happened was when the Tories got out. If they'd have stuck together as a party, we may have made the best ever.
I think we've lost a lot of rights. I think they haven't followed through on all the promises they made. And I think, to be honest, people are more racist. And I think it's horrible.
We can get some more opinion now. Firstly, from a leading business expert in Kent who's been telling us about the ongoing impact of Brexit. It's led to more customs regulations and damaged ties with Europe. Lucy's been chatting to Tudor Price, who's chief exec of the Kent Invicta Chamber of Commerce.
Well, I would say that the businesses in Kent were probably impacted more than others. And obviously the reason for that being is our close proximity. But the biggest challenge to us here in Kent was the increased friction of moving goods backwards and forwards. So an example would be that we'd have an empty Italian lorry coming back through the UK heading home. It would swing by a small business somewhere in the Kent Sticks. They'd throw a pallet on the back, whiz it across to Italy, and then sell their goods in Italy. All of a sudden, with customs declarations and border checks and stuff, that became financially impossible. And so we had a lot of small businesses down here in Kent who were exporting, albeit at a very small level, suddenly ground to a halt. And in some cases, some of the larger businesses actually had to stop exporting from here and open up warehouses on mainland Europe. So we have really suffered from Brexit more than most.
Do you think there's any possibility of the UK rejoining the EU, and what sort of impact would that have now if it did happen?
Yes, I think there is a possibility of us getting closer alignment. I don't think we're going to rejoin, certainly not in my lifetime, because I think it's one of those generational things. We need to sort of let a whole generation move on before we revisit the actual rejoining the EU. What's been indicated by the current Prime Minister is all about looking at closer alignment. And this is really where some of the other aspect of Brexit, the impact that we had, was supposedly, of course, it was meant to lessen some of the legislation that we were tied by. But if anything, actually, it's increased the amount of legislation as we've tried to adopt similar rules and regulations in order for us to be able to trade with Europe. So if through this closer alignment, they can make it less bureaucratic to sort of move products backwards and forwards, then I think that'll be a real help to us. But I don't think we're going to remove the sort of customs issues and stuff. They are here to stay, I think, as part of that sort of customs union opt-out. But I think if we can reduce some of the legislation or find some better alignment, then that's going to help us in the long term.
And a lot of areas in Kent did vote to leave. Do you think, from the people and businesses you speak to, do you think people are happy with the outcome, or do they feel a bit let down with how it's all turned out?
No, I don't think anybody's happy. The Remainers were not happy because, they didn't want it to happen in the first place. And I guess they'd be able to say, well, we told you so, didn't we? The Brexiteers were saying, yes, it was going to be important, but actually we didn't grasp the nettle. We didn't do the Singapore on Thames, which is what everyone was claiming was going to be the big saviour for the UK economy. So actually none of us have ended up with anything that we wanted, really. So all in all, it was a bad idea. It's not gone well for any of us. And I think we need to try and make the best we can of a bad situation, and sooner the better.
There's also a growing campaign to rejoin the EU, and in the lead up to the anniversary today, a group marched from Westminster through Kent to Brussels to highlight their cause. Lucy's also been speaking to Peter Corr, who's co-founder of the campaign group National Rejoin March.
The walk to Brussels was amazing, really. It was a lot harder than we thought, especially the first week being a heat wave. While we was doing it, so it was a lot. We thought, we just walk in, how hard can it be? But it was really hard. But it was really good along the route. We got so much talking to people along the way, and praise for what we're doing, and people expressing that they completely agreed with what we're doing and they want to rejoin the EU. We had a couple, oddly, in Kent, in Canterbury, was the only real bad negative thing we had, where we had a guy come up shout at us in the street saying it was working class people who vote for Brexit and we're betraying them. But as soon as I told him I'm a lorry driver, I'm like the same as him, he realised that, oh, okay, it's not all liberal elites doing this campaign. And then we had a nice conversation. So, but apart from that, it was really, really good. And then when we got to the EU Parliament in Brussels, it was such a lovely reception, and we got, I think the most memorable part of it, me, as we arrived outside the parliament, there was a guy on a microphone and he shouted, "Welcome home." And for me, that was just kind of emotional, really, to be honest with you, after the 2 weeks working to get there and then handing over the book to the UK-EU relations team outside the parliament. It just felt like us normal people got a voice directly to the heart of the European Parliament, really.
Yeah, that's interesting that that opinion kind of changed when that person in Canterbury sort of actually spoke to you. Do you find that a lot?
Yeah, because people do believe the stuff they read online, that people who are pro Remain and certainly people who are pro rejoin are all rich business owners or whatever, liberally we get called all the time. But as soon as I realize I am just a normal bloke like them, because I am a lorry driver, I'm not a journalist or politician or anything like that, as soon as you tell them that, they calm down and they'll have a conversation with you, because they know that we're on their level, sort of thing. And everyone on our team is the same as me, none of us are liberal elite or whatever. So it definitely does straight away calm the conversation down, and we can have it's almost like the bitterness of the past is mostly gone, because you can have calm, normal conversations with most people offline. By the way, you wouldn't believe it looking at comments online, but offline you can have normal conversations with people about it.
Yeah, so tell me a bit about the rest of Kent then, and then some of the more positive messages that you had as you were walking through, because it was quite a few towns that you ended up going through on your way, didn't you?
Yeah, just that quite a lot of people say they can't even believe that we could rejoin. They'll say things like, would they even want us back because of all the trouble we caused? And I can tell people like that unequivocally now, from being in the EU Parliament and talking to people in there, because we actually got to go in the Parliament when we arrived, that they absolutely do want us back because of reasons I've said many times before. It's about, With the threats going on from Putin and things like that, it's really important that we just pull together, work together, and tackle threats like that. So they absolutely do want us back. And people just, as soon as you tell them things like that, they say, okay, well, let's do it. We've had people join us. We've had organisations like European Movement are growing. The polling's growing for it. And you can see it as we walked the entire route. We got comments from people the whole way through, and because we're carrying the flag everywhere we go, we do that deliberately because people ask us why we're doing that, and it starts the conversation. And everywhere we went, we had that, and we'd if we crossed roads and stuff like that, especially over bridges. There's one particular day we went over one of the bridges across the motorway, and there was an accident on the motorway a bit further ahead, so there was everyone was jammed in a traffic jam. So we held the flag up and was waving, and the response from people on the road, from the cars and lorries and stuff, was amazing. You know, people sticking the thumbs up out the windows, and people even getting out of cars and waving and saying well done and stuff. It was really, really positive. Almost all of it was positive, which was astounding, really, because we was expecting lots of confrontation, especially through Kent, because there are lots of areas in Kent which was quite heavily in favour of leaving in 2016. And I think it just showed that I believe this country has completely changed its mind and grown up.
Well, you can let us know what you think today. Was leaving the EU the right decision? Would you change your vote based on what you know now? Indeed, how would you vote if you could do again? You can leave a comment on the story at Kent Online or via our socials.
Kent Online News.
Other top stories today, and a convicted sex offender from Tunbridge is going to spend more time behind bars after being sentenced for further offences. Christopher Hudson was due to be eligible for parole next year, but was found guilty of more crimes in March following a trial. The 66-year-old from Lodge Oak Lane was originally locked up for 14 years in November 2018. He'll serve another 8. A teenager who kicked an autistic man as he lay on the ground during a gang attack in Canterbury has avoided prison. Joseph Bailey joined in the assault at the city's bus station in December 2024 when he was 16. The now 18-year-old from Sobrown Way was handed a conditional discharge, meaning he'll only be punished if he commits another offence in the next 16 months. A man's been treated in hospital after being targeted by a gang in Cranbrook armed with catapults. It happened as the victim, who's in his 70s, walked along Waterloo Road last Tuesday. Five young people ran off towards the hill and are being hunted by police. And a man's been flown to hospital following a crash on the M20 between Maidstone and Ashford. The motorway was closed for more than 2 hours overnight after a car reportedly hit a tree. Police were called along with paramedics and the air ambulance. Now, a day after Sir Keir Starmer announced he was quitting as Prime Minister, some Labour MPs are considering whether to make a bid to replace him. They've got just over 2 weeks to put their name forward as part of the leadership contest. So far, the only candidate is Andy Burnham, the man who was sworn in yesterday as MP for Makerfield following a by-election last week. Well, we've been asking some of Kent's MPs if they think the former mayor of Greater Manchester would be the right man for the job. Starting with Chatham and Aylesford's Tris Osborne.
I think he has the values, having been in government previously and the experience of managing departments, having won a mayoralty in Manchester and delivered record private sector investment in that community. I believe he has both the executive experience on the ground, but also the political nous and the communications capability to really deliver that change in my community. So the reality is that we're now going through that change. I understand the public will be looking on. It doesn't look edifying, but fundamentally in 3 or 4 weeks time, I believe that we will have a new Prime Minister and we'll be able to set that direction running. And I'm looking forward to whoever it may be, I think it will be Andy, delivering that change for my community.
I'm Polly Billington. I'm the Member of Parliament for East Thanet. I've known Andy for a very long time. He became a Member of Parliament 25 years ago when some of my colleagues were still at primary school. He's been a Secretary of State for Health. He's been a Minister in the Treasury. So it's not like he doesn't know Westminster and Whitehall. And he made a decision to go and do something else away from Westminster and Whitehall, partly because he experienced the frustrations that many of us do about the way that this place works. Coming back, I think he's hoping to be able to change that in order to be able to serve the country better. And I'm hopeful that he will be able to do that too. I've worked closely with him on a number of things, both as a special advisor and as a campaigner, as well as knowing him when I was a journalist. So this man is not untested in politics, and having somebody who really knows the job and also likes politics will be an important thing in the years ahead.
I'm Nishaba Khan and I'm the Labour MP for Gillingham and Raynham. I remember when I first met Andy was when he came down to my by-election in Rochester and Strood back in 2014. So it's been quite a journey, actually, I think, for me and I guess for him massively. But All of that said, I think the challenges that we now face as a country are different. In fact, they're quite different to the ones that when we came in 2024, we thought we might be facing. We've got huge challenges on the international stage, with our defence, but also in terms of the rise of nationalism across the country. So as much as he knows Westminster, this is going to be about how he answers the challenges that the country faces. And that is what I'm keen to see from him.
I'm Lauren Edwards. I'm the MP for Rochester and Strood. Agreed to nominate Andy Burnham in a future leadership election if we were to have one, and obviously we are now some time ago. So yes, I do think he's the right person for the job. I think he has, particularly through his victory last week, restored a sense of hope for a lot of people. He ran a really great positive campaign, giving people positive reasons to vote Labour, and has a great track record. So I think he's the right person for the job.
Kent Online reports.
A man's been arrested after 67 cars were damaged in Folkestone. Police were called to reports of vehicles with windscreens and windows smashed in Blackball Road, Radnor Park Road and Ware Bay Road. A 32-year-old is in custody. We're again being urged to only use water for essential purposes as temperatures soar in Kent this week. Supplies were severely disrupted during the last heatwave in May, and South East Water say there's already been extra demand in the past few days. They're rerouting water around the network and using tankers to boost supplies. Tributes have been paid to a mum of six from Gravesend who died during a family holiday. Tracy Parker had been battling a rare lung cancer and developed pneumonia. The 55-year-old from Valley Drive had been due to restart chemotherapy following a trip away to Camber Sands. She's been described as a fighter. Now, England fans are getting ready for the country's second group game at the World Cup, and a huge screen has been set up to show it in Margate. Thomas Tuchel's side are taking on Ghana tonight. The drill shed is based in the historic Lido in the Cliftonville part of town and has a capacity of 750 people. Mark Graham is from For the Fans, who've organised screenings of the game there.
We work really hard on sort of creating the music and what needs to be played, and really sort of, yeah, tapping into the emotion of the big game.
And obviously the games are kicking off quite late. I know it's 9 o'clock kickoff for tonight, but some of the games have been going on into the early hours. Do you think that will impact the way people kind of enjoy the World Cup this year and whether they come out to venues like this?
I think, England, you know, we've been quite blessed really with kickoff times. I mean, it's only an hour later than what we would normally expect. So I think actually it makes it more for an evening night out for people, that they can come out and enjoy the evening and be finished by 11 o'clock. There's only one poor kickoff time for England fans throughout the tournament, depending on whether they win the group or come second. So from our point of view, actually, it landed really well. You could be in Scotland and be up till 2 a.m. in the morning like we were at the weekend. So, yeah, I mean, I think the kickoff times are great. I think for watching the other teams, you know, it's quite nice that there's a festival of football and for four games, you know, on every evening that you can kind of enjoy before you go to bed and then catch up with the highlights in the morning. So, I'm actually really enjoying actually the later kickoff times personally.
How important is it to have these events and these venues that can host a lot of people who can come together and watch it all together, win or lose?
Yeah, it's really important. I think, you know, ultimately, you know, we've been going now for 6 years, we're kind of the biggest in the UK for doing this experience. It's really, really important. You know, it brings people together. We only get one crack at it every time there's a game on. We don't get to postpone it or rerun a show. You know, it's the one moment that you all enjoy together. Club teams are put aside for 90 minutes and we can all enjoy, you know, celebrating together. And hopefully we can come and win something. That would be nice.
Tonight's match kicks off at 9. England won their opening group game against Croatia 4-2. The reopening date for an historic theatre in Medway has been pushed back again. The Brook in Chatham is getting a £21 million refurb, with work initially due to be finished last year. Bosses have blamed delays on the challenging global financial climate. It's now due to reopen in 2028. A former pub in Sheerness could be turned into a children's nursery. The old house in the town centre closed its doors in 2020 and went up for auction 4 years later, but failed to sell. Now plans have been submitted to change its use into an early years education and childcare facility. The owner of a burger restaurant has been asked to run the kitchen of a rooftop bar in Canterbury. Notorious BRG boss Johnny Wall is going to try and turn around the fortunes of the former socialite in St Margaret Street. The bar closed in January but has reopened as The Rooftop. And a former restaurant in Rochester is getting a new lease of life thanks to an ex-musician who featured on a Gordon Ramsay TV show. Condi Maniac was set up by Keir Kemp after he decided to have a go at making his own hot sauces. They've since been sold around the world, including to Jeremy Clarkson's Diddley Squat Farm. He's taking over the former Elizabeth's in the High Street. And finally, a new adventure play area is being built in Sheerness as part of a £20 million revival scheme. The facility at Beachfields will have a sensory area, cafe and underwater-themed activity course for children. It's being funded by the government's Pride in Place initiative.
Kent Online Sport.
Cricket first up, and Kent have won their latest game in the county championship. They beat Middlesex by 49 runs on the final day of action at Canterbury. Matt Milnes took 5 wickets to help dismiss the visitors for 181 in their second innings. And Chatham boxer Moses Talma has admitted his next fight will be his biggest test yet. He'll take on Filip Hrgović at the O2 in London on August the 29th. The Croat has won 20 of his 21 pro fights with 15 knockouts. Well, that's all from us for today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget you can follow us on socials. Plus you can get details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up to that, just head to kentonline.co.uk, and whilst you're on the website, you can also subscribe to Kent Online Premium. That gives you access to content with fewer ads and exclusive stories. And as we face a red warning for extreme heat this week, whilst you're on the website, you can take a look back at a record-breaking summer of 1976. Roads melted, rivers ran dry, and walls were covered in swarms of ladybirds. You can see pictures from the time and read one man's recollections.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.